Full good pumps. Alright, start with a word prayer. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with us. And thank you, Lord, most of all, for forgiving us through your Son, Christ Jesus, for sending him to save our souls. Please, Lord, I pray, let us not waste this opportunity as children of the Most High God in this world to point others in the same direction. Thank you, Lord, for so much. But I thank you for my church family here and now. And I pray, Lord, please, a blessing, a touch, a help, strength, wisdom, whatever it is that we need, Lord. For each one of us here, for the heads that are bowed in your presence here and across the world, Lord, as we take time out of our lives and our weeks to spend time in your house, worshiping and praising you and learning about you. Please be with those that are sick and downcast. I pray you for full recovery for John McMahon. Pray for John McGowan, Lord, and for his family at this time too. For Frank as well. Lord, for our country, for America, for Russia and Ukraine, for Israel and Gaza. And Lord, I pray that people's consciences would be greatly troubled about sin and judgment to come. And Lord, that a soul would hear the words of eternal life, give them the good sense to accept. And Lord, please be with us as we take this time. And I pray for your will to be done. We love you and thank you. Amen. 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 We are going to begin with me putting on glasses that will help me to see the little writing on the notebook. Gotta be able to see what you're doing.
Amen, Lord.
And then we are going to take big books. Sorry, these things are fighting me this morning. Big book this morning, we're going to begin with hymn number 364. 364, that is Standing on the Promises. 364, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing.
there we are. Is that number 29 of the practice this morning? Or 30?
Yes,
Steve
picked
me
nine.
Yeah, got the 32. We're going to sing hymn number 29 next. Hymn number 29 is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Hymn number 29 in the little book. If you'd like to take it. Of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, and thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, and let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and her land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his step. Amen. Amen.
The Bible reading, Psalm 85, well worth a look at and follow the promises of God, so as is a lot of the Bible. Take a minute or two and remind everybody about our little beigey, almost magnolia cream, there you go. Our magnolia coloured prayer request sheet. If anybody has anything that they would like to add to that, that they would like prayer for, now would be a good time to let us know, and we will add it. Yes, Steve.
Family friends Tommy and Anne Gurney, who live next door, still live next door to Paddy and Albie. Anne is in the stage of Alzheimer's, and she's really filled with it. And Tommy has had a heart valve put in, and he's also deteriorated somewhat as well. He's got angina, and a few other problems, high blood pressure, etc. That's Anne and Tommy Gurney, both need salvation. There is one other person I want to pray for. I heard in the great man, Steve McMahon. He was in hospital.
Who?
Steve McMahon. Steve.
All right.
His legs are bad. How he's been told that he has to sort himself out to avoid his mind. I'm not that way with him.
Put him down his health issues.
Hey?
Put him down his health issues. They've seen him and he's not doing very well with his walking at the moment.
Yeah, I
noticed that a few weeks back.
I just heard it on the great band, so.
That's
all we came up
with. From John and Carol.
Yeah.
That's what we heard.
I've from Carol and yeah.
So,
great.
Yep, we pray continually for Stephen. He certainly needs it. And as do we all, but that seems certainly needs a lot of prayer. Go ahead.
And I need prayers as well concerning this fistula. After the blowout that I had, it's caused a lot of problems. But they're hoping to be able to use it again this week. If not, I may have to go to Belfast to get another one going. Just pray for us.
Yes, indeed. Okay, then. Is anybody else? Yes,
private.
Yeah. Going ahead. Anybody else? Any private prayer requests? The Lord knows. Give me 1 second. I do as well. There we go. Thank you very much. Anything else going on out there that you want to?
Only in Israel.
Well, we've got stuff going on in the world, Israel. There's a wave of people being sick, sore, and tired of all the stupid things that their governments are making them do. So please do pray for Europe and Britain and America and Israel and Russia and Ukraine. I think China needs prayer as well. I do believe that the economy's not the best over there at the moment. But is it good anywhere? Except in Russia. I think the economy's booming in Russia.
It's good here, bro.
Yeah.
The Lord blessed this man well.
I think the Lord's blessing might just have been eroded and worn off in this land unless people get back with God again.
I'm all about the land, not the people.
Uh-huh. Well, the land is connected to the people. Anything else? Any thanks, Norman?
Thank you for all your prayers on Tuesday morning.
What happened?
Welcome, bro.
You must have hit the time exactly right. It took me 4 hours to get it sorted out. From 11:30 to 3:30. I'd like to thank the court, Kathy, for free water and free cappuccinos. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank my barrister, my legal team, William. and all the staff. And I'd like to thank God because I put it in His hands and I prayed the whole way up on the bus. And I said, it's up to you now. I can't do anything. I've done the heavy lifting. And He delivered me the result that I wanted.
So, glad to hear. We are glad to hear.
Thanks for all the blessings you receive.
Yes,
that's what you did.
And I'd like to thank the Lord for all of your prayers, whilst Norman and myself and even Clive have been working with putting that fence up. I expect every day that we land at church, you have to go out and touch the fence and say a prayer.
I think it was a good
one. I'm only joking about that, but every time I go to, and I have done things in the past, they take maybe a day or two, but I'm learning whenever you do things properly, it can take a week. And you can tell the difference between the fence that is up now and the fence that was up there previously. The previous one was put up by me, and the current one was designed and implemented by Norman, and I handed him tools. So we're thankful for all the work of the church. We would ask if you would continue to pray for a little bit of land beside the church and more building work such as it is. I think that's that. Is there anything else we need? Yes, Mrs. Brown.
Pearl's beginning to improve.
Good. Pearl is starting to improve.
How's your dad?
He's good. He's good.
I've seen him on Facebook a few times. Somewhere.
Alright. Well, if you would like to do the honours for us this morning, would you pray for us, please? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Yeah, Father, thank you for bringing safety to you in your house today, Lord. May it be a blessing to us, Lord, and your Son shine upon us, Lord. And may you do everything simple and right and well doing. I come to your side this morning's service and this evening's service as well, come on, that we be here again as well, Lord. Pray for our families, and we thank you for every good thing you give us, our health and strength, Lord. And every other good thing we forget or overlook, Lord, that God has given us, and the bountiful grace that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ down the sins for our cross, and the substitution He paid the cost for us, and Lord. May we talk to others about Thy Son, Lord, and His love, Lord. And see, so see, mighty and powerful, Lord, both from this land and throughout the world, Lord. See, so see, save us, well, Lord. We're with the listeners to this, whether it be in church today, Lord, or on the internet, or any other means for transmission, Lord. May see, so see, and greatly increase and glorify us, well, Lord. Lord, your father and brother, Frank, keep safe and well, John, push walk with thee, and keep safe and well in London, and guide him and protect us, well, Lord. With Colin's God, protect him wherever he is, live from any harmful thing, any danger, or any fear, Lord. But they stay on the Lord Jesus Christ and thee, Lord. And Lord, give them keep safe and well, Lord. Save Stephen, Colin, John, with Steve's health, Lord, may turn around, Lord, and not from sin to him, and turn him to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation as well, Lord. We have had John, Lord, and Ryan, Lord, keep safe and well, Lord, John, put your walk for thee, Lord, see the soul, mind, and heart, Lord, bring it back to church, Lord, and give them the shifts, work shifts that are not on Sunday, Lord, or Wednesday, Lord, and save them, both him and Catherine, and their family as well, Lord. Also, with John Bradford, keep safe and well, Lord. We thank you for the good case of Norman, Lord, and we thank you for answering prayer, Lord, during the week, Lord, and throughout the weeks and the months before that. We want us to come to live in God's will, Lord. Touch our hearts and be in with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and may He divide the gospel today, Lord. Make our hearts receptive, Lord, and Lord, our souls be in tune with Thee, Lord, and send us on a Christ-centered week, Lord, as we start all week again at Christ, Lord. We want to be with our Lord, Lord, grace and blessing, for Thy honor, for Thy glory, may be in Thy grace, with Jesus Christ, the King, amen.
Thank you all. And would you do please play hymn number, Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble, hymn number 32. 32 in the little black book, Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble.
Stars to guide the heart.
but it's nice to give it a wee airing from time to time. I'm going to sing one more. We're swapping books again, so we are on to the big book. If you would like to take and turn to 125, that is 125. This one is called the Solid Rock. And if you'd like to join me on your feet as we sing, make a joyful noise for the Solid Rock. Of names. The title for the message is Standing on Their Shoulders or on Their Shoulders. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1 and reading these first 17 verses. Amen. It's good to have you here. I pray your week, well, I know that your week has been good. Mine has certainly been good in a week at the church. It's good to be out in the fresh air and getting things done. Appreciated the fellowship. I was going to say appreciate the help, but I appreciate being able to help those that are doing the work. Amen. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zara of Tamar. And Perez begat Ezron, and Ezron begat Aram. And Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Naasson. And Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, Rechab, and Booz, I don't like saying Booz.
Boaz,
that sounds better. Begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzzias. And Uzzias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor. And Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliab. And Eliab, maybe it's a better way of putting it, begat Eleazar. And Eleazar begat Mathan. And Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Amen. That is our Bible reading. Verse number 5 is going to be our text this morning. And we are speaking of being or standing on their shoulders. Let's have a quick prayer and then we will continue. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for your many helps and blessings, for the time we have been able to take out of our week to be here for the fellowship with the brethren and with you, Lord, and been able to sing those good old songs and not have any of the usual distractions about us, Lord. Please bless this time. Please help us to understand. And Lord, please help us to grow even just a little bit. Or Lord, even as we go through the meeting, that would be a reminder of a lesson you need to teach us, Lord. We're never done needing your help, Lord, nor learning a bit more about you. And I pray that this, Lord, would be part of a step in the right direction. We love you and thank you, Father. And we pray this for wisdom and good hearing, Lord, for all those who teach and preach and hear your word this day. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's a little bit dry reading there, and as you can see, a little bit of a tongue twister for me. But I am sure for many people, when they come to the first 17 verses of the first chapter of Matthew, that you start with the first verse, and all the words blur until you get to verse number 14. And hardly anybody ever reads any of the names. And I'm not surprised, because I have read those names before, and even I was getting some of them mixed up. But this is giving the legal lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ from Abraham, right the way up to his stepdad, Joseph. But in the middle of those, there's two women mentioned. Tamar is mentioned in verse number 3, and that's another story. But we have a lady called Ruth mentioned. We have another lady just previous to that, Rechab. But we have a lady called Ruth mentioned. And I got to think, and I know we have mentioned Ruth's names many times, but of all the people that are there, she has no business being there. Because she was a Moabitish woman, and by law, had no business appearing in these pages or having anything to do or being married even to a Jewish man. Because just like us, Ruth was a Gentile, a dog. And as the Lord said to a woman that came to him about the healing of her child, he said, "It is not fit to give the children's meat unto dogs." In other words, the Lord came to minister to the Jews, even though he said that he had other sheep that he was come to get. But I am thankful, because even though this is not as well known as John chapter 3 and verse number 16, we all know that verse, "For God so loved the world that," and that's you and me, by the way, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is our inn, and that, back in the day, was Ruth's inn. Even though she was expressly forbidden, the Moabites and the Ammonites were to be ignored, they were to be gotten rid of, and in fact, I think they were, as the Old Testament progressed, but because this one young woman, this widow woman, was prepared to turn her back on what she had been taught and turn her face towards the teachings of the Lord and continue along with her family, she was accepted into the legal line of God. Read the book of Ruth. It's an interesting story. There are no miracles in it except the circumstances that draw this Moabitish woman who married a Jewish man whenever they were in a foreign country, and all the men in the family died, and Ruth and Naomi, they headed back home, and through being just good and obedient and following God's commandments, she ended up married to a man called Boaz, and through that union she became the great grandmother to King David. You know, King David the giant slayer. King David the apple of God's eye. Of course, we know that things took a downward dip towards the end of his life, but she became his great grandmother. That's another lesson to be remembered, that you can only be faithful and obedient for yourself and set a good example. Other people, it is up to them to be faithful and obedient for themselves. So she actually got her name, of all the people in the world, she actually got her name in the legal line of Jesus Christ, simply by obeying God. And I am thankful that in just the very same way that you and I are not legally going to heaven, no commandment that we could complete, there's no one of God's laws that we can follow that would take us to heaven. It is by obeying God and accepting Christ as our Savior, we are going to heaven, just in the same way as Ruth did. All those men, all those names that appear after Ruth and Boaz are there because she obeyed God. They, if you want, stand upon her shoulders, simply because she was obedient to God. As I was reading this, I got to thinking on a lot of the prophecy that I know sometimes my mind takes handbrake turns whenever I'm thinking about things in the Bible. We see the very same thing. All of those people depended upon Ruth and Boaz doing the right thing. And for generations after that, they all have a little bit of her DNA. They all have an example in her obedience. We see that in the prophecy that is given in the Word of God. We see men shrugging their shoulders as they write the things down that God told them to write down. "God, this makes no sense, but I'm writing it down." But us, As we stand here in the year 2024, standing on the shoulders of those that were involved in the Industrial Revolution, in the Technological Revolution, the explosion in IT and programming, and the availability that huge leaps forward in engineering, we can now look back to the things that God wrote, and we can see and understand the prophecies that were made, things that made absolutely no sense back then. Standing on the shoulders of others, we can understand it now. I have a few examples here, and I hope you will see, especially whenever the Lord said that whenever he would return, that every eye would see him. And that doesn't just mean every eye in Jerusalem, because if it meant every eye in Jerusalem, it would have said every eye in Jerusalem. But it says every eye will see him, in the same way that for God so loved the world means everybody in the world, even the bad ones and the not so bad ones, it means everybody. The global communications network has been at our fingertips for the past how long? 60 years? 50 years? Easily. We have it now, and we can look back and we can understand. This God was talking about our days. The Bible also said in Matthew 24 that if he didn't come back whenever he did say he was going to come back, that there would no flesh be saved. Now, 100 years ago, when people were still shooting musket and cannon, and maybe the occasional bow and arrow, nobody could comprehend every single person in the world being dead. But now, with our ABC weapons, our atomic, our bacteriological, and our chemical weapons, it's easy to do. Now, I haven't checked the availability or the efficiency of these weapons recently, but 30 or 40 years ago when I read the statistics, I think we were able to kill everybody 6 or 7 times. We would have needed a population of 36 billion just to use all of our chemical and bacteriological and atomic weapons. Someone can press a button and start a fight that will kill everybody. We live in these days because we stand on the shoulders of those that have been weapons inventors, machine inventors, and energy inventors ever since. As we read on in the book of Revelation, it talks about the image of the beast being given life. And many years ago, you would have thought, that's impossible. How can an image be given life? But I don't know when the first movies came out, just over 100 years ago. I said, hold on a second. That looks like someone's alive on the screen. But it has exploded even more than that now, when we can pull up on our little phones. I don't know about you, but I come from the generation where if someone had handed me a phone as a child, I thought I would have died and gone to heaven. All that computer power and music and video in the palm of your hand, and a computer many times more powerful than that sent the first rockets to the moon. I thought I would have died and gone to heaven. And yet, everybody is walking around with one in their pocket. That can give images life. 2,000 years ago, that meant nothing. But now, standing upon the shoulders, sadly, of the likes of Bill Gates Steve Jobs passed away there. And I hate even to mention the name of Bill Gates. He's an evil man, but he has been foundational in putting the Windows operating system on everything and the Google operating system. Those men that have given their lives or dedicated themselves to building and programming computers have made that all possible. And we can see that now. Even as it said in Daniel about knowledge being greatly increased. We have a factory that builds huge amounts of storage, Seagate, just across the river. And that information, once it's stored and knows and connected to the internet, makes it available to everybody. You can quite literally find out how to do just about anything by typing it into a search engine. All of these things, seemingly impossible, 2,500 or more years ago, when Daniel wrote these things down. It's just common for us now. And we think it's so common, we never stop to think, hold on a second, all of those things in the Bible are actually talking about things that could only have happened today. I don't know if you have read recently or recall to mind in Revelation chapter 6, one of the last of the judgments in Revelation chapter 6 talks about the great men and the mighty and the kings hiding themselves in the mountains whenever all of these disasters start to rain down after a quarter of the world's population has been killed. And we used to think, why would you hide yourself in a mountain? Yes, you would be there in a cave. But today we have huge, huge military bunkers hidden under mountains, supposedly safe from all manner of weaponry. And all they do is seal the doors, and they're good for months and maybe even years. These things are normal for us. Whenever we read, I think it's in Daniel as well, how the Antichrist will gain control of the world through flatteries. We have our flatterers, pictures all tied to posts and nailed to fences as we drive around, as we head in four or five days to the polls to throw our lot in with these men and these women that quite literally lie to our faces on TV and tell us how great they will be and how good they will be for us. And we look back then and think, how is a man going to talk himself out of getting stuck with a sword or a spear thrown at him or an arrow through the forehead? How is he going to talk himself into being the most powerful man in the world when the most powerful man in the world back in the day was probably an expert swordsman or archer? We live in the day when a man that couldn't hammer a nail in could talk himself into the position of one of the most powerful men in the world. This is possible. This, in quotes, democratic system that we subscribe to today. In the very same verse, the Word of God talks about men traveling to and fro. And ever since the steam engine was made, men have been fine-tuning it and improving it. And now it will take us from here to Belfast in an hour and a half. It will fly us from here to America in about 6 hours. Men travel to and fro. If we were to read on through Matthew, we would see that it was a big deal just to hop on the back of a donkey and walk to Bethlehem to take part in the census. That was a thing. That wasn't something you did in an afternoon and came back the next day. That was a big event. But we think nothing of travelling to and fro now, simply because we stand on the shoulders. Who was it? Was it Robert Louis Stevenson that came up with the steam engine or sometime round about then? But look, we have the jet engine. We have the internal combustion engine. We have the electric engine. We have the engines that send the rocket engine, the ramjets. We have those engines and all the tinkering they do on them to send the Blackbird through the upper atmosphere at Mach, what is it, 3, 4, 5? It can outrun just about every missile in the world. Daniel saw that coming over 2,500 years ago. And he couldn't fathom it, but we think nothing of it. Because we stand on the shoulders of great men that have gone before us. If only as Christians we stood on the shoulders of great men that went before us. I am sure there's many more examples, but all of them are only clear because of those that have gone before us, because of those that have lifted up our quality of life, our ability, our the way that we can influence things around us and do things around us. So much of it is just a part of our lives. It's just a thing that we can call upon, a thing that we can use. It is interesting to read them as an amazing thing that was written down 2,000 years ago, but it's just a part of the building blocks of our lives. So if someone was to read these things and to join the dots, they might start asking questions like, what do we do? If this Bible is true, I'm in trouble. What do I do? If these things are happening, there's no if in it, friends. These things are happening, mm-hmm. and have been happening for decades in some instances. That means all the other things in the Bible are going to happen. How do we escape them? In 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians, is it chapter 3? Maybe chapter 10, actually, where it says, there's no temptation that has taken you or I, but such as is common to man. In other words, everybody gets tempted. But God will, with the temptation, make a way whereby we are able to bear it or escape it. And God has done the very, very same with the judgment that is coming our way. He has made a way to escape it. You have only a 50% chance of bearing it. I wouldn't like that. Those odds are not good. But you have a 100% chance of avoiding it if you take God's advice. Stand on God's shoulder. Someone once said, there's a snake pit. You're hanging on a rope. It's going to break in just a few seconds. The bottom of the pit is full of poisonous snake. The sides are smooth and they're 10 foot apart. Someone once said, how do you get out? And the true answer is, you don't get into it in the first place. But we are there. You and I that are saved from that. But there are many people that are there right now. And the only way you and I have our promise of heaven is by God lifting us there. By God saving our souls and taking us there through his Son, Christ Jesus. We will get to heaven because we availed of the work that was done before us. The work that Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago. We can look at the prophecies and understand them because of great men, many of whom were inspired by God over the past few hundred years. But we will only get to heaven whenever we are brought there through the work of Christ on the cross. We would quite literally have to stand on somebody's shoulders to get out of that pit, and there's only one man can do that, and that is Jesus. It's completely out of our reach. I don't know about you, before you accepted Christ as your Savior, I tried a lot of things. I tried to be a good son. I tried to share any sweets and things that I ever got with cousins and brothers. I stood up for my little brothers. I had to fight for a few of them from time to time. I'm going to tell you something. Cutting the grass, I even refused to take a few pounds from my granny for cutting her grass because I wanted to do something that would make me feel better inside. And it wasn't until I got to 23 years old and realized that any efforts that I ever made were not enough to save my soul, and I put my faith in Christ. And when I go to heaven, when I stand there, it will be on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. It will be because of what he did. It's the only way to heaven. And I know you're saved. I pray that you're walking and talking with God in public and in private. And this may not even be for you, but it will be a help for you when you speak to others and tell them how much God loves them and just what he has done for us. Putting those prophecies into the Spirit. Inspiring men thousands of years before these things even happened to write these things there and preserve them faithfully. And that is just the admin side of it. And then stepping into the very history that he had annotated in the book at the right time. Fulfilling many prophecies that only he could fulfill himself. God's good. And I know there are smart people and there's dumb people. There's rich people and poor people. There's white people and black people. But regardless, people have a soul. And they need to know that even though Jesus Christ has lifted you and I to heaven, because, friends, we're as sure for heaven as if you were standing there right now. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what you're going to do in the future, your sins are paid for. There's always space for somebody else to move God's shoulders. And he will take as many as say, "Lord, please have mercy on me, a sinner, and save my soul." Amen. We're going to stop there. Thank you very much for your good time this morning. I hope and pray that that will be a help. Hymn number 105, 105, that is one, I think we sung this not so very long ago, one called "All That Thrills My Soul." Hymn number 105, "All That Thrills My Soul." If you're able, let's stand as we sing this hymn.
And the river and bread.
dismiss with a wee word of prayer. Don't forget our absent brethren. I hope you have a good day. Rest of this day and tomorrow and the next day until we see each other again. I'll certainly thank you for you. Don't forget to pray for everybody else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time. Please bless it as we part company and go our separate ways. And a wee bit of fellowship. Lord, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Just the verses before Norman read, it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Thank you for this little bit of time. Bless us and watch over us and inspire us and encourage us, comfort us. Lord, help us to run through a tree and leap over a wall and set our feet on our high places. Thank you, Lord, for all of this, but most importantly for your Son. And be with our brethren across the world and deliver us this day our daily bread. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and according to your will. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands, fellowship for a little bit. We are dismissed. Amen.
God bless you, ladies. Good to see you. Ding.